What a wonderful start to this morning's worship.
Amen.
We have heard from the Lord in prayer, and we've heard from the Lord in song, and we're going to open up God's Word, and we want to hear from God off the pages of Scripture.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to go back and finish Ephesians chapter 3.
Ephesians chapter 3,
this remarkable prayer of Paul. I was reminded on last week that I did not give a title to the sermon.
True that.
Amen. And the title was last week, Praying for the Right Stuff. Praying for the Right Stuff. And today we're going to be speaking from the subject of Praying from the Right Stuff, Part 2. Amen. It's the right stuff that needs to be prayed for. Let's stand in honor of God's majestic word, His wonderful word that we've heard sung. And Ethel sang so sweetly, how she loved the Lord. And we ought to just hum that as we go about our days. Because God has truly been good to us.
Amen.
Yeah.
And some of us right now are grieving and are going through bereavement, but we can stand by God's word because He said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And even those here that have been weeping have experienced joy since the time of the funeral or the death. Because God has surrounded us with loved ones and friends and family that has brought joy to our hearts. Know that even in our darkest times, God is an ever-present help. God is good when He's given and when He's taken away. And we wouldn't have nothing to cry about if our loved ones weren't good to us. God is good. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Ephesians chapter 3, we're going to start here at verse 14. Chester got down and bowed his knees. I was wondering if he was going to get up. But his son came over and we made sure he got up. But God is good.
Amen.
Look at Ephesians chapter 14 and with this in mind. Chapter 3, verse 14. With this in mind, watch what Paul is praying for. Listen closely to what Paul is praying for. So when it's spoken and preached, it just come back to you so sweetly. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named.
Amen.
That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. To be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And to know. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us,
yes, sir.
Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end.
Amen.
And the church said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, to Him be glory in the church. We ask right now, Father God, that You would just speak a word. Speak a word this morning, Father God. A healing word. A life-transforming word. A strengthening word. An encouraging word. Speak to our hearts today through the person of your pastor. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. praying for the right stuff. Part two.
Amen.
We talked last week, and Paul was corrected in 2 Corinthians. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. I believe everyone in here has a thorn in the flesh. If you don't have a thorn in the flesh, you got one coming. I believe somebody said you either in trouble.
Right.
I believe it was Les Brown. He said you either in trouble, headed for trouble, or just getting out.
Amen.
You right there today. You in one of them three phases. Paul corrected. Paul was corrected by God. So Paul said, I got this thorn in the flesh. It's bothering me. And he went to the Lord three times. And the Lord said, Paul, cut it out.
Amen.
Not cut the thorn out, but just cut it out. You need that thorn. You need that thorn to keep you weighed down so you won't get haughty and big-headed and arrogant and prideful. You need that thorn. See, sometimes we need our thorns. And then Paul realized that, and from then on, Paul's preaching and his teaching was seasoned with humility and humbleness and lowliness, and we're going to see that today. But last week, I want to just review, and again, this is not a sermon for you to get right. This is not a get yourself together sermon, okay? This is a sermon to the saints.
Yes.
That's what it said in chapter 1. This is to the saints of God. These are the people who know the Lord. But even when you know the Lord, you just need a little encouragement.
Yes, sir.
You just need a little more strength for the journey. I said it to Bobby. I said it to all in ministry. All who desire to live godly in Christ shall be persecuted.
Amen.
The psalmist says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many of the afflictions of the righteous. See, we live in a world today where the preachers want to take away all the afflictions.
Amen.
When a preacher says you ought not have no afflictions, no trials, no tribulations, it ought to be smooth sailing, you really need to look for the exit signs. Because that's not biblical.
Amen.
Well, how you know, preacher, because the word of God said it, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Many are the afflictions.
Yes.
And some of us went through some this week.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Well, thanks be to God, you here.
Amen.
And you are in the house of God, and you can say, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You
can sing like Marvin said, say, I never would have made it without you. I know somebody know what I'm talking about. For this cause, Paul said, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, for what cause? Because you've been so good to us, God. You've been so merciful to us. You have been a way maker. You called us out of darkness into your everlasting life. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, and you went down into the dirt and got us out. And for that reason, I bow my knees unto the Lord, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named.
Uh-huh.
Talking about the church.
Yes, sir.
There's a church in heaven, and there's a church on earth. And last week we talked about there's no church in hell.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about folks that have loved him and praised him. They are thankful to him.
Mm-hmm.
But he says something else in verse 16, and we stopped there last week and we touched it, and I just want to touch it again, just a touch. That he would grant you. Now this is just prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Now this is how y'all's pastor prays for y'all.
Right.
This is my prayer for the church.
Yeah.
People say, what is your vision for the church? That you be strong in the Lord.
Yeah.
That you will be rooted and grounded in the Word of God. When you open your mouth, you open it like John the Baptist, and you will be called a voice for God.
Yeah.
When somebody asks you how you made it through, you will talk about the Lord.
Yeah.
When somebody tell you about your success that you have, you will thank the Lord. Paul says that he would grant you, this is his prayer, that he would grant you. And we talk about what a grant is. You don't have to pay a grant back. You need to use it properly, they won't give you another one. But he says that he would grant you according to the riches of His glory.
Yes, sir.
Oh, listen.
Come on now.
They ain't gonna run out. If I bless you according to my riches, you in trouble. But when God grants you according to His riches, you are okay. You are truly blessed. Listen, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. That's His first request we talked about last week. Look at this second one. To be strengthened. But we need strength. Somebody needs strength today. Somebody needs strength today because they had some persecution. They had a trial. They had a bomb. They've lost a loved one. You need strength just to read the Youngstown Vindicator. When you hear about a young man who took a plea deal. Now, when you take a plea deal for life without parole, that's not much of a deal. Young people. Young people. Playing with these guns and drugs and running around here thinking you all that and bad. Listen. Life in prison without parole means you will never leave. When all their other friends in prison, you will have friends in prison, they'll go up for parole and they'll get home. And you go in there at 20, you're going to come out of there in a pine box.
Amen.
You will never have an opportunity to stand before man and say, I'm a changed man, I'm different. After 20 years in prison, 30 years in prison, you will not be able to stand before the parole board and say, I deserve a second chance. You have life without parole. And just a sidebar, young people. When they talk about privatizing prisons, that is not a good idea. That is a... If I owned a prison, me and Doris, we own the prison. We in it to make money. Now, we don't want none of you old folks robbing banks and shooting people, because old folks in prison are a liability. So y'all don't shoot nobody. Well, y'all not come to our prison because the medical costs and Obamacare don't cover y'all and all that. We want young blood coming up in there, healthy, so we can give them basketballs and exercise equipment. But we making $100-$200 a day off of you. Oh, it's modern day slavery. You can call it what you want. So we want the Jeremys and Bobbies coming there all strong. They ain't gonna get sick for 40 years.
Right.
Oh, y'all don't get me.
Oh, yeah.
Privatizing prisons. You ought to run from that.
Yes.
Let me move on. For that reason, young folks, because most of you young folks been baptized. That means you know the Lord as your Savior. You confess Him as your Savior upon the confessing of your faith. You're saying you know the Lord, so you ought to live a certain way.
Amen.
The schools ought to be better because Bobby's in class.
Yes, yes, yes.
The schools ought to be better because Jeremy's in this class. And when I meet your teacher at the mall, I say, oh, that's Jeremy goes to your church. I thank God for him because he is a wonderful student.
Yeah.
Amen. And I can say that. Listen. Somebody's this inner man. You need your inner man strengthened. See, the inner man, when you got an inner, he says it's an inner man. That means the Spirit of God has taken up residency in you. That's what the text says. Okay? Now, the inner man can see. According to Psalm 119:8, he said, open thy eyes that I may behold the wondrous things out of the law. The inner man, the Holy Ghost that's in you, can hear. He said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear.
Amen.
Then the inner man can taste things. The psalmist says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, and the inner man can get an attitude. When you ain't doing right, the inner man can get an attitude, because Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Oh, listen. The inner man requires some upkeep and some personal hygiene. Young men and women need to be fresh and clean, because the inner man needs to be clean. He says, he must be clean. He says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Oh, let's talk about that inner man. He needs to be nourished. He needs to be fed. All of us. Jesus said this. He said, listen, man shall not live by bread alone. The inner man needs to be fed the Holy Scriptures. Oh, Paul knew that the inner man needed strength, needed power to survive. And he's teaching this thing. He's praying this thing. And he said, wait a minute. There's so much prayer on material prosperity and pain and physical health and well-being. And some folks are just praying for ecstatic experiences and all that. No, Paul said, no, I'm not praying for that. Look at Acts 20. We talked about it last week. I'm going to talk about it again because it is worth it. Listen. Paul was praying for these folks because he knew that trouble was on the horizon. And let me tell you something. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but if the righteous ain't ready for afflictions, you're going to fall apart. When the heat is on, you're going to fall apart. Satan will turn the heat up. Ask Job. He'll turn it up. Oh, he'll turn it up high. Paul knew something. He says, listen, in verse 29 of Acts 20, he says, for I know this, that after my departing, grievous wolves will enter in among you, not sparing the flocks. Oh, we got the grievous wolves in this town. He said, also of your own self shall men arise. Jesus knew something about that. Out of the 12 of Judas arise. He said, after your own self shall men arise, speaking perverse things. Now, there's a perversion flowing through the church now. We got preachers that don't have a problem cussing. Cussing while they're preaching. Well, you're going to reach the young folks. You got to cuss and act like them. Well, I don't see that nowhere. Amen. I just don't see that in the scriptures. He says, they do this to draw away disciples after them. Yeah. You know, them folks with hip hop folks walking around with their pants pulled down and tattoos all over them and nose rings and like I said, they look like they stuck their head in a taco box. You know what they need? They need the Word of God.
Amen.
Jesus said, if I be, I'll draw all men unto me. I can't draw nobody to me. You wouldn't want to be drawn to me. Somebody asks you about the things of God, don't talk about me. Talk about Jesus. Paul said, therefore, watch and remember that in the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone, night and day, with tears. Now I say that because the Word of God is a warning message.
Amen.
It's a book of warning. Listen what Paul was saying in Romans 16 about the same subject. Because Paul, before I even get started, I have to give you some background of why Paul was praying for these folks. Because he knew that all hell was going to break out in their lives. Folks think they come to Jesus, everything's going to be all right. Somebody said that ain't true. You come to Jesus, the thing may get worse. Listen. Romans 16 and 17. Paul says, now I beg you, I beseech you, brethren, mark marked them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned and avoid them. There are going to come some people going to come in and going to try to teach you a new gospel.
All right.
Some new doctrine, some new theories, some new fads. Paul said, mark them.
Mm-hmm.
Stay away from them.
Mm-hmm.
For they, verse 18, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly.
Mm-hmm.
And by good words,
yes, sir,
and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple.
Mm-hmm.
So you can be saved and simple.
Amen. Amen.
You don't want to hear the word of God. Oh, that's too much teaching. That's like going to school. Well, who ever said going to church like going to a entertainment or a nightclub?
All right.
Going to church ought to be like coming to school.
Yes.
You ought to leave out of here saying, I learned something today.
Yes.
I'm stronger.
Yes.
I can face tomorrow.
Yes.
I'm going to be a better employee now because you got the word of God in you.
Yes.
Now, we didn't let the musicians sit up here and sing to y'all for another 45 minutes. Some of y'all would have been happy. Let me give you one more. Colossians 2. Colossians 2. Now, I'm going to jump into this subject. Stronger. Colossians 2. Paul's still talking about these folks that's coming along. Be careful. Smooth operators. Who that's, are they?
Yeah.
He's a smooth operator. And that's what he is. Some of y'all like smooth operators. Don't raise his voice. He's so smooth. Oh, I just love to hear him talk. He ain't talking about nothing, but just love to hear him talk. So smooth.
Right.
So smooth up there. The words just flow off his tongue and all.
Yeah.
You just got to come see our pastor. He's just so smooth. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 4. He says, in this I say, lest any man should beguile you, trick you, entice you, mesmerize you, cast a spell on you, charm you, just fascinated.
Mm-hmm.
You ever notice there ain't no ugly preachers on TV? There ain't no big fat preachers on TV. All the women preachers that look good. Oh, y'all know I'm right. Because they trying to fascinate you and charm you, put a magic spell on you. Try to get that wallet up out of your pocket. Get you to write that check. You have to be fascinated and charmed to be in the living room and your purse all the way upstairs.
Uh-huh. Yes, it is. I know it is.
And he can get you out of your easy chair to go up there and write a check.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
If I ever see my wife do that, I know she in trouble. She hold that checkbook tight. Listen.
Amen.
Listen. Enticing words. You know what enticing words is? Paul said we didn't come with enticing words. Smooth. Smooth. Listen at Paul's prayer. Now this is just one of the greatest prayers in the Bible. And young people, old people, you know, we talk about praying and different things. And I don't know, I'm intimidated about praying. Pay attention to how Paul prayed. It don't change much. You ain't got to get up here and put on no show. I know some real close to you pray. And they pray for the butterflies in the sky. Thank God for the butterflies. No. What's Paul's prayer? Listen, he says in verse 17 that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That's the first part of it.
Uh-huh.
down. You're praying for saints. But he's saying, I pray that Christ may dwell in your heart. How? And that word dwell means to make himself at home with you, to reside, to settle down and feel at home with you. And the question you got to ask yourself, does Christ feel at home with you? Is he allowed just to roam around your spiritual house? Go in the refrigerator, pick up the computer. I'm going online for a minute. You don't have no problem with him opening up your history because, hey, you just make yourself at home, Jesus. I don't have nothing to hide.
Amen.
I haven't been doing nothing.
Yeah.
Paul was basically asking that the Ephesian saints would have a deeper experience with God. Do you want a deeper experience with God? Do you want to get closer to God? There's a fascinating story. It is really long, but I'm just gonna touch it. But in Genesis chapter 18, it says that the Lord came to Abraham's tent and dwelt there in the heat of the day and talked to Abraham and Sarah and told Sarah what he was going to do for her. Sarah laughed. We know the story. But when the Lord said he was going to see Lot in chapter 19, Lot had a house, not a tent. And Abraham started praying for Lot and the angel saying, listen, don't go, basically. God was not at home with Lot. God did not even set foot in Sodom. He sent the angels ahead. And the angels told Lot, we were just going to hang out in the city like we did in Abraham's place out in the wilderness. And Lot said, that's not a good idea. Because I have surrounded myself with evil spirits and evil folks that do all kinds of stuff and they might just get you. Now, what's your home moral? What does your home resemble more? Abraham's place or Lot's place? He said, I want to dwell. He said, I pray that he may dwell in your heart by faith. Then there's the second thing he said. Y'all know I don't beg y'all to come out to Bible study and Sunday school and different things. I don't beg y'all to come out and hear things, but we doing work here.
Yeah.
We doing gardening and landscaping, irrigation. We bringing in the backhoe, trying to dig up some stuff, right? So you can be rooted. That's what he says next. He says that you can be rooted.
Rooted.
That word rooted means entrenched. Entrenched, and again, it should be every pastor's goal that the believers will be entrenched, that they will be rooted to go way down. Okay? So you can't go high if you don't go low. Okay, you can't go high if you don't go low. And see, the roots got to go deep. See, the roots go deep. So if you plant something, it pop right up. You usually don't got nothing. Because when the heat comes, and it's coming, Jesus told a parable, when the heat comes, the one that was planted on stony ground, when the heat comes, burn it right up. You got to go deep. You got to go deep. Paul, Jesus talked about the two builders. He said, one built it on sand, and the other built on a rock. And when the storms came, and the floods came, and the winds came, the one that was built on sand, what happened? Washed away. But the one that was grounded and rooted on a rock, there was stability. I think Psalm said we ought to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And God planted that tree. And the rivers of water represents the Word of God. We ought to be planted near the Word of God so the Word of God continuously feeds us. So Paul wanted them not only, he wanted them to be, God would be able to do well with them, but then he wanted them rooted.
Yes.
Oh, do I want you guys rooted.
Amen.
Rooted. Yes. And then he said something else. He said, I want you not only rooted, but grounded. But grounded. And that word grounded means in touch with reality. I'm telling you, too many Christians running around here with all these little sound bites and little things they saying, blessed and highly favored, too blessed to be stressed. I'm blessed in a mess. Life a mess, everything a mess. I listen to them. Blessed and highly favored. Blessed and highly favored. Really? I'd rather hear a Christian tell me I am rooted and grounded in the love of God. Now, when somebody asks you, how are you doing today? I am rooted and grounded in the love of God. And they'll look at you like you crazy. That word grounded means there's a seriousness about Christianity. We so frivolous and childish. We're not connected. We're not connected. And when you're grounded, that means you done went down and grabbed a hold of something.
Yes, sir.
Oh, when they built them big towers up in the Sears buildings, you don't know how deep they go.
All right.
Oh, they go real deep. They go real deep. See, we don't go real deep. We like to sing and like to dance and perform in church, but when they come to get deep, you ain't preaching. That ain't preaching. He just lecturing. He just talking. He ought to be a college professor or something. No, they want me running around here. Like James Brown. Light me off, Reverend Joe. Light me off. I'm holding on to this. I'm holding on to this thing. I get away from this point, I'm in a little trouble because y'all don't want to hear about what's on my mind. I don't have no chapter in this book named Keith. I didn't write none of it. He wanted to root it and ground it. Are you grounded? When adversity and trials come, how did you hold up? How did you hold up? Are you like the trees? Remember that storm came over there in New Jersey? Them trees, they showed us houses and boats and everything blown all the way. Why? Boats was all the way in downtown Las Vegas. I mean, downtown New Jersey, Atlantic City. I mean, boats and houses all the way 5 miles away from their destination where they was planted at. And know what them trees was? They was just like this. People knew where they lived by the trees. Because the trees was rooted and grounded in love. Or they ain't nothing like a Christian blowing down the street. Ain't nothing like a Christian blowing down the street. I ask the inmates all the time out to the prison. They tell me, I'm a Christian. I say, well, how you get locked up? I just do.
Amen.
How you get locked up if you a Christian? I know how. Because they wasn't rooted and grounded in the love of God. And when adversity came and confrontation came, they didn't know how to deal with it because they didn't have the coping skills necessary to deal with that issue.
Amen.
So they resorted to Cain. The doctrine of Cain. And see, we got too many folks out there living by the doctrine of Cain. Cain means murder. That's why they call it cocaine. One hitter, quitter, and cocaine. They were grounded. They were rooted. Paul wanted them, God to be able to dwell with them. Then he wanted them rooted. Then he wanted them grounded. And then he wanted them rooted and grounded in what? The soil of love. Of worship of God. And I hear Ethel talk about, oh, how I love him. And that's what we're talking about here. Worship in worship of God. We ought to be rooted and grounded in the worship of God, in the love of God. And when somebody say John 3:16, that ought to move us.
Oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not go to hell. He wanted them rooted and grounded in love. I listened to a preacher this week talking about, I was sick for the last 2 weeks and I was just Netflixing. And he went around and talked about 5 minutes about all the movies he's seen. Seen everything. Movie here, movie there, movie here, movie there. Start watching Marvin Gaye and all this. I'm sitting here like, what preacher sick for 2 weeks Netflixing? Y'all be Bible flicking. Y'all be talking about Haggai and Micah and Ruth and Esther and Zephaniah and Habakkuk.
Amen.
Oh, I gave y'all some names there, didn't I?
Oh, yeah.
See, the man of God opened his mouth, he ought to be talking about Hezekiah, Joshua, amen. Jeremiah, Nehemiah. The attitude. Look at his last one. Paul just moving on. Then he didn't stop. He moves on down to verse 18. Then he said that you may be able to. That's a big word. Comprehend. With all the saints. And that word comprehend means you ought to be able to grab on to something. Grab on the truths of God. Grab on the truths of God and apply them to your life. But they're too big to grab onto. That's right, but you ought to be grabbing. You ought to always be grabbing. Always seeking more and more knowledge. Paul says that the magnitude of the love of God, he said it's four dimensional. He said it's enormous. It's just big. But you ought to grab it. He says the first thing you ought to grab, understanding of, is the breadth of it. He says to know the breadth of it. What is you talking about, Paul? How big this thing is. God sent his son to die for the world. Paul says in 1 Timothy 3:15 that this is a faithful saint. That Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am chief. Now, I've told you the story because my father's here and he knows he brought us up watching Westerns. And we watch Westerns and we watch them, but Paul says, I am chief. And in a Western movie, the chief had a lot of feathers. Anybody here got as many feathers as the chief? We may have one or two and we might have thought we was bad. But the chief come in the room.
Uh-huh.
He had a lot of feathers. Paul said, I was chief. Paul said, I was chief. But God came into this world to save sinners.
Uh-huh.
That's what he came to do. And we need to understand the breadth of that. For God to come into a dark and nasty world like we live in to what? Save sinners. And then he talks about the length of it. He said, not only the breadth of it, the length of it. He said, oh, it goes all the way back before the foundation of the world.
Yes.
And it comes all the way back into your world right here. But I like what the psalmist said in Psalms 103. He says, as far as the east is from the west, when Jesus was planted on that cross, he was pointing east in west. He said, as far as the east is from the west, I have died for the sins of this world. That's the length of it. And then the death of it. Oh, y'all know this one is touching my heart. The death of God's love. The death of God's love. The Bible says this. But God commended his love toward us. Say that. In that while we were yet sinners, while we was out there doing whatever we was big and bad enough to do, he was still dying for us on Calvary's cross. Listen, the depth of God's love. Look at verse chapter 2 of Ephesians. Just flip it back. He says, in you.
You.
Have you quickened. Made alive. Who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that now worketh in the disobedience of children, or the children of disobedience.
Uh-oh.
What a word.
What?
Whom, what? Among whom also.
What?
I'm just talking about how far God had to come to get us. Some of us was deep in sin. Far from the people shore. Oh, listen. Among whom also we all. Come on now. Y'all hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. I just want to talk about how deep God had to go to get some of us.
Amen.
Some of us was deep in mess. And liking it. Speeding downhill to hell. Like we were sitting in a soapbox derby. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us even when we were dead in sin, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved.
Amen.
Oh, that don't do it no justice. Let me show you what it really means. Look at John chapter 11. And I just want to show you what this really means. What it really looked like. What it really looked like. Y'all remember Lazarus? Lazarus has died. Lazarus had died. Jesus purposely stayed out for 3 or 4 days. And when he got there, he saw them all weeping and crying and weeping. And in verse 34, Jesus was overcome with emotions and love for Mary and her sisters. And he said, and where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Verse 35. Jesus wept. And then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. This is how deep God's love is. See, when God loves us so much that he groans, that he wept. And when he was hanging on the cross and crucified and beat and spitting on, he never said a mumbling word. He never groaned one groan when he was dying. But when it comes to us, his love for us, he wept. He wept. And look what verse 35 says, 38 rather. And Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, come to the grave. Oh, he don't want to see any of us die unsaved. And he's coming to the grave. And I'm not saying Lazarus is unsaved. And it was a cave. And a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, some of us got some stones. Some of us got some stones. And Jesus said, take away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, she never liked his stepson. She said, Lord, I know you're Lord. But he wasn't that black. He wasn't at Washington Funeral Home. He's not full of embalming fluids. Back then, you died in Jewish custom. You were buried the next day. Okay? And now he had been in the grave 4 days. And he said, Lord, by this time, he's stinking. Oh, that's a picture of us. Oh, when God came into our grave, we was stinking. We was wretched. Oh, we was wretched. And he said, for he had been dead 4 days. Some of us been dead 20 years, 30 years, 60 years. Oh, we was stinking. And Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God. That's how God came into our worlds when we was in that grave. And we was partying in the grave. We was dancing in the grave. And we was having a good time in the grave. And God called us out of darkness into marvelous light. So we see the depth of it. We see the length of it. And we see the height of His love. We see the height of His love. We talked about it in Sunday school a little bit this morning. He said, wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every mouth shall confess. Confess what? That Jesus is Lord. This is the height of it. God rose Him up and exalted Him. And then Paul just consumed with his prayer. He just consumed with this thing. And in the heat of the heat of praise and adoration for the Lord, he just bursts out in verse 19 and saying some things. Just finishing off this prayer. And he says in verse 19, and to know. And this is a prayer. He says, and to know the love of Christ. Brother John, when you're walking around here, you and your wife on Sunday morning praying for the church, pray that the people of God would know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Paul says, I want y'all to know something you can't know. That's how deep Paul was. He wanted them to know something they could not even attain mentally, but he wanted them to know the love of Christ. Do you know the love of Christ?
Yeah.
Oh, preacher, you just begging and screaming. You got to know this. It's time out for this. Playing in church. You need to know where you're going. You need to know where you come here every week. You're not doing this for the church.
Amen.
You're not doing this for the pastor. You're not doing this because you sing. You're not doing this because you usher or whatever you do. You're doing it because you know the love of Christ.
Amen.
Then he prays one more thing. He said that they might be filled with all the fullness of God. Paul just wanted them to be full of God. So we got so many saints that's full of a lot of things.
Amen.
You talk to them and you know what they're full of. They're full of their job and their sport team, their hobby, their family, their spouse. They're full of lust and evil and envy.
Come on, preacher.
Full of crapola. That a word, Reverend Jones?
Yeah.
Polish word. Crapola. Paul wanted the people to be full of God.
Yes.
And then he burst out in his doxology. I didn't think I would get this far. I'm there. I'm a cruise right on through. Listen. He's so full of praise and adoration. And Paul's in the spirit right now. And he burst out in his doxology. And the doxology just giving God glory for who He is. And giving Him praise and admonishing Him for being the God of the world.
Yes.
And look what he said. Now unto Him that is able, that word able means strong and strength and powerful, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly of all that we ask or think.
Yes,
according to the power that worketh in us. Paul knew that the power of God was working in these folks. It wasn't easy to be a Christian in Ephesus. Remember, Ephesus was an evil place. It was an evil town. They had the Temple of Diana, 1,000 male and female prostitutes. It was an evil place.
Mm-hmm.
And these people needed the power of God. They needed to know that they had it, and it was working in them. Some of us got all power. And we just ain't plugged in. Are you plugged in?
Yeah.
Or are you beeping? Are you beeping? Are you blinking? That cell phone get bad, get low. You plug it in, set it on the charger. Well, we get low. We don't bounce up on the charger. We just go low. Powerless Christians. Not able to deal with anything.
Come on, preacher.
Then you look around the churches. There's no way that the communities that surround churches that full of the power of the Holy Ghost ought to be. Tearing down churches and boarded up houses and there's a church there. The power of God is in this community, and the community ought to prosper because God's church is right there.
Uh-huh.
Folks get murdered on top of churches. A block away from the church. Folks get robbed. Parking lots getting broken. Gotta have security outside. Oh, I know. Just never. Listen. Is the power working in us as a church? We talk about our young people, oh, they crazy, they doing this. We talk about the murder rate in Chicago and Detroit and Michigan and Ohio, Youngstown, Dallas, wherever. It's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy.
Mm.
But God said this.
Come on,
crazy. He said that judgment shall or must begin in the house of God. The church will be judged first.
Amen.
Y'all been sitting here and have your favorite candidates, and that's like I said before. If you're poor in 2012, you're going to be poor in 2013.
Amen.
Don't care who the president.
Amen.
But understand this, that God has given the church a responsibility to be salt.
Yes, sir.
In the world. And to be light into a dark world. And the church has failed.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes. Oh, yes, sir.
We're not tapped into the power that's in us. We're looking for political leaders and programs and all this other stuff.
Yes, sir.
And we got all power. And we're not plugged in. Look at verse number 21. I'm close. He said,
unto him
be glory in the church.
Glory.
See, the church is where God is looking to receive his glory. And if he's not receiving his glory from the church, he's not going to receive it from the world. A world that says it's okay for two women to get married or two men to get married. It's okay to abort babies. The world is saying it's okay. It's okay. Everybody ought to have automatic weapons. It's okay. When the TV commercials are just full of beer and booze and alcohol, it's okay. They don't tell you about mothers against drunk drivers. They don't tell you about the mother who received a knock on her door and her husband had just been mowed down by a drunk driver. They don't tell you that a DUI costs you $10,000. Well, they don't tell you that. Because God will not get glory from the world. God will receive his glory from the church. From the church. Now, the church, please listen. You have nothing to worry about.
Come on, preacher.
You can stand. I know it's intimidating. I know it's intimidating. Some of us don't want to get out and talk about the things of God because we're intimidated. They'll think I'm crazy. Well, you crazy.
Come on.
For thinking that they think you're crazy. You're crazy.
Uh-huh.
But listen. Listen at Paul. He says this in Romans 8, 35, and I'm close.
Come on,
who?
Who?
Shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed. All the day long we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. For I am persuaded. I am convinced. I am totally convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So get out there and fight the good fight of faith. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. We have work to do. The Word of God said judgment must begin in the house of God. We have a responsibility to send our young people out into this world equipped. And I said, Bobby and Lord Reese and all you young people, you ought to shine in school. You ought to shine in school. Keenan, you ought to shine in school. Jill, you ought to shine in school. Little Justin, you ought to shine in school. We ought to be the best. The judgment will begin in the house of God. You elders and deacons here, you ought to shine. If you're singing in the choir, you ought to sing on your job. You ought to sing to the glory of God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the depths that you went to get us. Thank you for the length.
Oh my, the length. Come on, preacher.
Thank you, Father God, for the magnitude of your love.
Thank you.
We want to be rooted. We want to be grounded. We want you to be able to come into our world to dwell with us. Come into our homes. Come into our houses. Come into our marriages. And live there.
Oh, come on.
And we want to be like Zacchaeus.
Yes, sir.
And when you looked up in the tree and you saw Zacchaeus,
yes,
you say, Zacchaeus, make haste.
Yeah.
Come down. For this day I must dwell in the house. Father God, somebody today may need to make haste.
Yeah.
And come down.
Yeah.
And get right with you. So I know I can do better. I know I can live better. I know the things of God. I was brought up in the church, but now I'm living like a doggone fool. And I need the Lord. I need somebody to dig around me and dung around me, put some fertilizer around me, so my roots to come back alive. And they can go deep, and I can go high, and then I can represent you like you ought to be represented. Because you were there with me.
Yes, sir.
When all hell was breaking out of my life, you were there with me.
Yes.
When I was in the hospital room, I told all the folks that was praying for me, when I get out, I'm going to serve the God. And I have lied.
Yes.
You have lifted me up many times. You brought my blood pressure down.
Yes.
You got my diabetes under control. You caught me. You caught the colon cancer in time.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. And I'm right back out in the streets. I'm right back doing my mess.
Mm.
Lord, touch my heart today.
Touch my heart.
Give me a mind. Give me a mind for the things of God. But I pray all the things today.
Yes, sir.